the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We'll be getting in a moment to the latest controversy to befall the Social Democrats TD Owen Hayes, and we'll be getting an update on developments in the presidential election campaign. But Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, let's start with budget issues, given that we're less than a month away from the budget now, and the pressure that is mounting on the government when it comes to a cost of living package. Given that there are up to 300,000 households that may be in arrears on their electricity bills, despite the fact that they have been in receipt of electricity grants in recent years, how much pressure is the government coming under to relent and to extend the cost of living measures in the budget, particularly rather than maybe giving VAT reductions to the hospitality sector?
Yeah, it's coming under significant pressure, Matt, and I suppose the danger when you start giving measures away and freebies or support measures as the government did during COVID-19 in the first instance, and then in the kind of cost of living crisis of 2022, they're extremely hard to take away. And what we saw, I suppose, the government, even with inflation coming down, they were not minded to withdraw those supports before a general election for obvious reasons. This being the first budget since the general election, they feel that this is the one opportunity they have to probably unwind or take away such goodies. But the pressure is real, because obviously from, you know, there are a number of families who have come to rely on these kind of energy credits, the 1, 2, 3, 4 that we've gotten per year for a number of years now. And the impact is substantial, like there's no doubt about it. Even for more middle class families, you know, it's an extra few hundred quid that you have to play with that you otherwise wouldn't. And the temptation from a politician's perspective is always just to extend it, just to keep giving it. But, you know, the government is also caught on the horns of a dilemma as well, Matt, because you have IFAC, the Fiscal Advisory Council, literally screaming at them now at this stage to rein in spending. They're running structural deficits once windfall taxes are taken out, pretty sizable ones now. And worse, they've repeated the folly of the crash of 15, 16 years ago. They are using windfall tax revenues for permanent spending increases, which is always, we were told all the way along, is the biggest no-no, but they've committed to do that again. So they are on a difficulty. I think what they have said is there will be some measures to relieve the cost of living pressures, but it won't be that sort of bells and whistles package we've seen in recent years.
But then, are they in a further bind in that the programme for government has given a commitment in relation to VAT reductions for the hospitality sector, but market research is now suggesting that the electorate doesn't think that's a good use of the money and could be very angry if they see hotels and restaurants getting part of the tax package that is not devoted to ordinary income taxpayers?
Yeah, and we polled at this the weekend at the Business Post, and it was very clear a sizable majority basically said they would prefer to see those tax cuts to the hospitality sector deferred and prioritised elsewhere. Now, obviously, hospitality has been promised this. The difficulty from a government administration perspective is that they can't separate, or haven't been able to separate, your small cafe, barbershop, hairdressers on your high street to your big multi-chain hotels, who have been accused, by for right or for wrong, at various times of gouging customers, particularly around big events like big concerts or major sporting events. So there is a difficulty there. The government, though, however, and particularly the Fine Gael wing of the government, has made it clear that they support the idea of giving that relief, the 9% rate to hospitality. And I think they would cause significant difficulty for themselves were they not to see that through. However, you know, that if they do commit to that, that essentially is their big tax package for this year, because the amount of money, it's like 800, 900 million, you know, is around the cost of it. It's a significant amount of money, and they've only about 1.1, 1.2 billion for taxation cuts in the entire budget, as according to the summary economic statement. So if they go the VAT route, that's basically all they're going to do on the tax rate in substantial means. But Matt, we've discussed before, you know, there have been pressures building on them to either eradicate or substantially reduce the impact of the universal social charge. They continue to tinker around that. There may not be a major move on USC this year because focus is elsewhere. And there's other pressures elsewhere on the taxation side. So they have a big call to make in relation to the VAT one, but it's clear it has divided public opinion. There's no doubt about it.
And Tabitha Monaghan of The Independent, might it also divide the main coalition partners of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, in that Fine Gael appears to want the VAT reduction, but a growing number of Fianna Fáil TDs at yesterday's parliamentary party thinking seemed to be against that idea?
Yeah, and actually there's always seems to come to the time of this year around the budget where there is fraction that, you know, friction between the two parties about what they want and what they don't want. You know, there was a row last year that some people might remember between how much of the social welfare would go up and whether or not the long-term unemployed, Fine Gael sources were saying they didn't want the long-term unemployed to get an increase, but they wanted the pension to go up, and that Fianna Fáil weren't supportive of that at all. And then now again, like you're referencing there, that could be a bone of contention is whether or not that VAT rate is reduced. I think it comes down to when they decide to do this, whether it's in January or they do it in July, which has been reported that potentially that's what they're looking at, which would obviously reduce the cost overall. And the Taoiseach was asked this at the ploughing championships again, and obviously there is the presidential election going on, but we are only a few weeks out from the budget, and what he said was that he wouldn't apologise for deciding to support small businesses, small you know, cafes and restaurants across the country who are, you know, providing employment, and that, you know, he's been visiting them around the country and that's what he wants to do. But that in his opinion, that, you know, I think he kind of echoed what Jack Chambers was saying as well, is that that would result, there would mean that there's very little room there for personal tax cuts as a result of that. But I think exactly what Danny said, the government, if the government are under pressure for energy costs that households are facing, they are under significant pressure from the hospitality sector, who have been calling for this for an awful long time.
And then, Tabitha, what about the likely increase in social welfare payments? What is Dara Cleary, the Social Protection Minister, looking for, do we know?
Yeah, understood that he is going to push for a €12 increase in the social welfare payments in the budget. And there's an ambition to ensure that there will be a €50 increase in the weekly rates between now and the end of the government's term. But that's up to 2029. So I think that's what Derek Leary is pushing for, is that €12 increase in the social welfare rate. There has been, obviously, he's also been out, I think it was over the weekend, where he was speaking about the two-tier child benefit. And that had kind of been floating around the last few months, because we know the government, along with infrastructure, and we've heard so much about how much they're going to focus on infrastructure, and they revise their national development plan, and they really want to kind of look towards the future of Ireland, but they also want to tackle child poverty in this budget. And Micheál Martin is very much pushing this line, and how they're going to do that, you know. And Derek Leary said, I don't think a two-tier child benefit in this budget anyway is going to be feasible, because it would mean a brand new system. And that essentially, I think what the Taoiseach said then last week as well, was that the department is saying we just don't have the capacity to create a new system, but that there would be some, I think the word that the Taoiseach used was equivalent to a two-tier child benefit. Now, we don't know exactly what that means. They often point to these other benefits or these other supports that are available, so the working family payment, for example. So it's whether or not they might tinker around that and see if they're, I don't know whether they could use that as a way to kind of bridge the gap between this, the possibility of a two-tier child benefit, and potentially that coming in the next year's budget, so not in a few weeks' time, but the following year. So there's quite a lot of movement there.
Let's move from child poverty to parent poverty, Danny. There's a listener, Karen, who wants to know, what about college fees? Any chance they'd be reduced back to 2000? This is a reference to the row a few months ago as to whether money would be available to reduce the 3000 annual fee charged for student registration. What's likely to happen now is a compromise, given that that was another measure of contention between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, so James Lawless, the Higher Education and Further Education Minister, said that any move he makes in this space would be on a permanent basis. So it may not be the sort of €1,000 reduction that we've seen on a one-off basis repeatedly, you know, as part of the cost of living package that Simon Harris, when he was in that department, managed to secure. The Examiner, I think yesterday morning, had a story that the reduction could be in line or in the region of €500, a permanent reduction, which would be less than the amount that James Lawless was looking for, but certainly would be a permanent reduction as he is sort of committed to it. And I think the whole purpose is, I suppose, to reduce the cost, upfront cost for parents trying to send children to third level. From a college's perspective, they have constantly, as long as I've been in journalism, have been complaining since the introduction of free fees that they are underfunded, that they need more money. It's not less money that they need more money. And, you know, kind of cutting this level of fee only puts pressure on them to make up the shortfall elsewhere. So this is not one that is, you know, universally popular, Matt, but certainly from a punter perspective, any reduction in the headline rate would be welcome. But it looks like it's more like in the region of €500, not the €1,000 that has been previously reduced.
Now, we'll get to Owen Hayes in a moment, but Tabitha Monaghan, give us an update, please, on the latest in the presidential election race. Because is Garrett Sheridan inching his way towards getting on the ballot paper, or could he suffer the disappointment of just falling short?
I think inching his way to the ballot is exactly how to describe it, but whether or not he gets on the ballot, I think, is another matter. So today, a second council decided to nominate him for the presidency. That was Tipperary County Council, and they followed Kerry yesterday, who also voted to nominate him. Now, Tipperary was one of those councils that Garrett Sheridan, when he launched his campaign back in August, he said, you know, I have the support of this council. So now it's come to fruition now. So that is interesting, though he does need four. So he's halfway there at the moment. And I think we have seen these messages. I mean, there was almost a diktat from Fine Gael that said, you know, you cannot support another candidate getting on the ballot. Fianna Fáil wasn't quite as blunt as that. They, you know, they said we want, you know, our councillors to support Jim Gavin. Sinn Féin said that they weren't going to be directing their councillors what way to vote or what way to do things. So I think it'll be, like you said, inching his way forward. I think whether or not he gets there, I think he still does have an uphill battle against him for the reasons I just outlined, the parties that are kind of dominating at the majority in the councils. Yeah.
Why has he done better than the other independent candidates? I mean, I have a text here from Niall in Galway, who says the presidential election is a sham. The three candidates are nothing more than different shades of the same colour. Same goes for Gary Sheridan. None of them speak for me, and I suspect I'm not the only one who feels that way. It is quite clear that Maria Steen has been deliberately blocked from running because the government parties and the media are afraid of her. If it was someone like Catherine Connolly been blocked, the media would rightly be up in arms. Well, I don't know anyone in the media who's afraid of Maria Steen. But the question, I suppose, is, Tabitha, has she done the work going to the local councils in the way that Gary Sheridan has?
Well, I think one of the things about Garrett Sheridan is that he did come out a lot earlier than Maria Steen did. And I think some people criticised him for doing that. And some people pointed to the kind of shambles that I think you could describe his early weeks of the campaign. Because when you launch in August, all of the attention is on you. But even still, obviously, he did impress a number of people. And he's obviously been putting in the work. And he had said that he had been thinking about this and working on this for months and months before he kind of publicly decided to come out there. So I think that probably speaks to one of the reasons why he has been more successful than any other independent candidate. He's been putting the hard yards in clearly already and has been able to gain support. Whereas I think Maria Steen, her issue at the moment is that she came out so late. Like, really, we have only known in the last, is it 2 or 3 weeks, that she was going to put her name forward. And like, I think when she said last week that she got 10 Oireachtas members, like, that was significant. Okay, she was only halfway there, she needed 20. You would imagine that if she had more time, if she had maybe 2 or 3 more months behind her, that she was, you know, putting the groundwork in, talking to the councillors or even talking to the Oireachtas members, that maybe things could have been different for her. But because we've come so close to the nominations closing now, you wonder that maybe, you know, like we've seen in other elections as well, that, you know, councils, or even Catherine Connolly now, who was facing questions about who she nominated in 2018 and Gemma O'Doherty. Some people don't want to have regrets in terms of who they nominate. And I don't know if people, Oireachtas members or councils, want to be rushed into a decision like that.
OK, let's talk about the latest problem for the Social Democrats caused by its Dublin-based South TD Owen Hayes. This story, front page of the Irish Daily Mail today. And he tried a preemptive strike by issuing a statement last night in relation to photographs that were taken, Danny, when he was a 22-year-old student back in UCC in 2009, when he coloured himself to look like American President Barack Obama. What should we make of this?
Yeah, like, God forbid they're not, you know, I didn't grow up in the age of smartphones, Matt, because, like, we probably all have silly photographs of us, maybe not to the same degree when we were in college.
Are you looking to confess something here, Danny, about something you might have done when in fancy dress at some stage?
Maybe not. No, I don't think I'm in confessing mood today, Matt. I would just think that, like, the Social Democrats seem to be unable to walk past an issue like this without tearing themselves apart or getting themselves wrapped up in knots. I mean, like Owen Hayes has had a torturous time since coming into the Dáil. I mean, obviously he was, you know, he lost the whip of the party over his the shares in and his declaration of the shares, and like, and that was a clear error, and he made a mistake, and he, you know, he got the rap on the knuckles and suffered as a result of that. He's been back in the fold since July. You know, this is something that dates back a substantial period of time, 16 years. It was 2009. He was president of the UCC Students' Union, where essentially he put brown makeup on his face. He came out last night with his hands held up. You know, I did feel a bit, I won't say sorry for him, but I did think Holly Kearns overdid this morning. You know, I mean, what was wrong with turning around and saying, listen, we all have made silly mistakes in our past, and we don't stand for it, he doesn't stand for it, he's apologised, you know, what more do we really do? I just sort of, the hand-wringing that we tend to get from the Social Democrats, I just thought was a little bit over the top. Not for one second condoning any form of racism, not in question, but I do think, you know, if he was doing this last year, the year before, different story, but this was something that happened when he was, I suppose, in his college days, you know, probably a little bit more naive. And, you know, as I said, people tend to do silly things when they go to college.
Yeah, this listener here says that people need to lighten up about Owen Hayes. I wonder if that's a pun. It was fancy dress and he was young. Does this mean people could get in trouble for dressing up as Aladdin or the Three Wise Men or interesting characters that happen to have black or brown skin? There is no insult intended, but there's always someone waiting to be offended, usually white, middle-class, humorous people. I do remember there was a bit of a fuss about somebody dressing up as Mo Salah a few years ago on social media. Most famously, of course, Prince Harry once dressed up as a Nazi. Not that you could ever condone that. And my team was telling me of one famous time, apparently this caused an issue back in the 1990s when the actor Ted Danson dressed up in blackface at a time when he was dating Whoopi Goldberg. I see as well on this, Tabitha Monaghan, that Micheál Martin has basically excused Owen Hayes and told the Social Democrats to stop judging everyone else.
Yeah, and it's kind of something that I have seen Micheál Martin and the Social Democrats, whoever it ends up being in the Dáil, you know, when they do leaders' questions, it is kind of something that they do tend to clash over. That kind of idea that, you know, Micheál Martin will kind of portray them as maybe preaching too much, and that, you know, clearly they can also make mistakes, or the TDs that are in there are making mistakes as well. I think he was the one, Micheál Martin was the politician, or the person in opposition to the Soc Dems, that was most critical of that, and that he kind of took it further, whereas the others today, when I was at the Ploughing, were asked this. You know, Simon Harris was asked this, for example, and he didn't go quite as far, but he did say, you know, he has apologised, that it is a matter for the Social Democrats, but that people do make mistakes. So I actually thought that those on the other side of the Soc Dems have actually been quite kind today.
Probably because they're worried about lots of people in their own parties who might have done something stupid in fancy dress, and that there are photographs to prove it. Thank you very much, Tabitha Monaghan, political reporter of the Irish Independent, and Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.